The MGM Theater of the Air, starring this week, Melvin Douglas with Arlene Francis. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Vice President of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, and noted writer of many Broadway and Hollywood musical hits, Mr. Howard Deetz.
Thank you. The full-hour play you are about to hear on the MGM Theater of the Air is a comedy of manners, marriage, and mayhem. All three can go together. It is entitled Third Finger Left Hand, and many of you may have seen it as a Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer motion picture some years back. It starred one of our brilliant actors, Melvin Douglas, and in this radio recreation, he is once more playing the starring role. In just a moment, we will hear Third Finger Left Hand, starring Melvin Douglas in person on the MGM Theater of the Air. If anyone could have foretold the future of Jeff Thompson on the day the ship docked in New York Harbor, or even given him a peek into the crystal ball, Mr. Thompson might have done something drastic. He might have put a double bar on his stateroom door, or simply leaped overboard into the murky waters of the Battery. But as he knew no evil, heard no evil, saw no evil, as he couldn't fathom the future, fate lured its unsuspecting victim on board the great ship right into its dock. And the surface of life appeared as smooth as a mountain lake without a ripple.
Such a long line. I despise lines. All this rigmarole with the customs.
See here, Stuart. Can't you hurry this? I have an appointment ashore. Stuart!
Have your cards ready, please. Have your cards ready.
Yeah, come in. Come in, Mr. Flanford. Oh, it's you.
Got to go up on deck and sign your card, Mr. Thompson. Hey, is all this junk yours?
The paintings are my work, if that's what you mean.
They're practically crowding you out of your cabin, huh?
They've all got to be displayed, pal. Rungs in the ladder to recognition and success.
Yeah, well, let's go, Mr. Thompson.
Listen, there's a man coming aboard, especially to see me.
Yeah, who?
The art expert, Flanford. Head of one of New York's most important galleries, the man I'm waiting for.
Oh, yeah. Well,
if he likes my stuff, I'm made. See, 2 years' work in 9 countries on 3 continents and 7 islands will not have been in vain.
Well, let's go, Mr. Thompson. You've got to sign your card.
If it's all the same with you, I'll stay here for a while. Flandrin will be here any minute.
Now, listen, Mr. Thompson, you've got to come up and...
Sign my card. Yes, Admiral, I heard you. I know the ritual. 20 passengers are in that line up there. Each one will take 10 minutes. Would you tell me why I shouldn't wait down here instead of up there on the end of that line?
Now, look, I got my orders about
Listen,
the passenger.
Pal, suppose you'd hoboed around the world, working on newspapers, washing dishes, shucking oysters, trying to paint, and you were broke, and finally you get Mr. Big to look at your stuff. I'd let you stay.
That's the difference between you and me. I'm sorry, Mr. Thompson.
You let me stay for a half hour, and I'll put in a good word for you with the captain.
Come on, Mr. Thompson, I got my orders.
All right, all right. It's only fair to tell you, though, that your sleep will be uneasy. Destiny resents interference. If Mr. Flandrin comes in here while I'm up there on deck...
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Oh, dear.
Forgive me.
You all right, Margo?
Yes, August, of course.
That was clumsy of me. I guess neither of us was watching where we were going.
You certainly weren't.
Hey, Admiral, I'll leave it to you. Was she or was she not traveling in the southbound lane? Was she or was she not watching where she...
Come on, August.
No, yes, Bob.
Wait a minute.
We gotta get your card signed, Mr. Thompson.
Yeah, so we do. Let's get it over with so I can get back and meet Flandrin.
Clumsy clown. Oh, what's that stateroom number again?
4C, Margot.
Ah, this is C. And this is 4. Lorna! It's Margot!
I do not like the light down here. For photographing, it is not good.
It'll be better in the cabin. Lorna!
About the woman, I do not worry, but her paintings you wish photographed for the next issue. Mm. August Winkle must have perfect lighting to photograph paintings.
Lorna!
At the studio, the lighting is perfect.
It's more dramatic coming directly on board this way, August. Lord! Oh! The door was unlocked.
And your old friend is not here.
Her paintings are, though. Look at them, Gussie. She must be up on deck. We'll wait for her.
Hmm. Many paintings.
Last year, she designed costume jewelry. The year before, it was ceramics. And now, this.
Some of them are quite good. She has a, how shall I say it, a masculine vigor to her brushwork. This Lorna, does she know Margot?
Give me a cigarette, Gussie, please.
You do not answer. Therefore, she does not know. No one knows. Only Margot and her friend August Winkle. Mommy.
Cheer up, Gussie.
I do not like it, Margot.
I do. I'm on top of the world.
I worry.
Because I invented an imaginary husband to keep this wonderful job. Now, Gussie.
No good will come of it, Margot.
Lots of good already has. This little emblem on the third finger left hand is my security, my job insurance.
I know.
How long has any unmarried woman lasted as editor on one of the Russell magazines,
2 months, 3.
And why? Because Mr. Russell has a jealous wife. Remember that caper you sent me in Rio when I was appointed editor? You signed it regret. You thought Mrs. Russell would knife me first.
I didn't expect you to come back from Rio with this story.
Well, it's been a good story, Gussie. I explained to people that my husband is away, traveling. Meanwhile, the missus in front of my name is Wolf Insurance. The boss lets me alone. The boss's wife is my pal.
And your father, if he should find out.
He wouldn't believe it, you know, Dad.
Mrs. Merrick. Mrs. Tony Merrick.
Mm-hmm.
With no Mr. Merrick. No marriage in Rio.
But with a good job. A job Mrs. Merrick means to keep. If she has to make up a dozen white lies to do it.
All right, Margot, all right.
What?
Your friend Lorna has strange tastes. She smokes a pipe.
A pipe?
And see here, the bowl is still warm.
But that's ridiculous. Lorna smoke a pipe. Oh, here she is now. Darling.
I beg your pardon, madame.
I'm sorry. I was expecting... Well, you're Flandrin.
That is correct.
The famous art dealer.
Madame, I have come to look at some paintings.
But of course. How wonderful for Lorna, Gussie.
Yes.
Such exquisite paintings, Mr. Flandrin. You can discuss terms with me. I handle such matters for my friend. You don't mind? No, I'm sure you don't. Well, do come in.
High in the middle, wink, 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 wink. What's the riddle of?
Up to you, madame. Good day.
Hey, what? Mr. Flandrin, hey.
Step aside. If you please, get out of my way.
Now, listen, I'm Jeff Thompson, Mr. Flandrin.
Ah, you?
Yeah, you came out of my cabin just now. You've seen my work?
I have seen your work.
And will you handle it?
It's being handled already by the lady friend in your cabin.
But I haven't got any lady friend.
She shooed me out. Me, Flandrin.
Very well.
Let her handle it then. Let her handle it.
No, wait, Mr. Flandrin. What in the sweet blue blaze of night party?
Oh, Gussie, it was too precious. It was too funny. Oh, dear.
Margot, there's a gentleman.
I thought they were Lorna's paintings.
A gentleman, Margot, standing in the doorway.
No dealer will gobble up my friend's work, said I. No 20%er will cheat my friend. Shoo, said I. Shoo out of here. Oh. It's funny.
A riot, as a matter of fact.
What? Oh.
How do you do, sir?
Oh, you... Is this yours?
This is my cabin. These are my paintings.
No, it's too funny, really.
If I may explain, Mr.
If you can persuade this lady to stop her idiotic giggling, I'd like to know what you're doing here. What you did to Mr. Flandrin.
It was a misunderstanding, sir, you see.
Just a minute, August. The lady has stopped her idiotic giggling.
Good.
I believe I do owe you an explanation.
I believe you do.
We simply got into the wrong cabin. 4CC instead of 4C. Well, Lorna paints, too. That is, she does this year. Last season, it was costume jewelry. And, well, the year before...
Did you shoo Flandrin out of here?
August told you it was a misunderstanding. And his attitude was insufferable. So superior.
It's taken me 2 years to get Flandrin to look at my work. And you shoo him out.
Well, I'm terribly sorry. I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh, but it was so amusing. If you could have seen his face.
I saw it.
Well, I said I'm frightfully sorry. I'm sure it isn't important. Come on, August, we'll try to find...
Just a minute.
What?
Do you like riding on a bus?
Well, not particularly.
Well, you're riding on a bus now, see? Up to Madison and 40th Street. And you're getting out, and you're walking up some marble steps into an art gallery, see? And you're going to start talking. Fast! Here's a handy place right next to the gallery. Gee, we got a break. Two together at the counter.
What'll it be, folks?
Chocolate malted milk.
Make it two.
Two chocolate malts.
With whipped cream.
Without whipped cream.
Got it. Coming up.
Yeah, they don't know how to make a chocolate malt in New York. Take it from me, I'm an expert. Chocolate malts were my specialty when I worked in my dad's pharmacy. That was back in Ohio. Wapakoneta, Ohio. Hey, look, I've been apologizing to you ever since we left Flandrin's office, every way I know how. I said I'm sorry I blew my top this morning.
Never mind.
But I do mind.
Really, it's not important.
Oh, it is important. You've got to accept my thanks for the way you fixed things up with Flandrin. You were swell.
Here are two malts, one with, one without.
I want you to know I appreciate it, see?
I was glad to do it, seeing as I had no alternative.
I was mad. I'm sorry.
And I didn't do anything, really, just explained a perfectly natural mistake. Cut my lunch hour down to 10 minutes to do it, but I was happy to help. Delighted.
Okay, no truce. Have it your way.
What was the name of that town?
What?
Were you working in a drugstore?
Oh, Wapakoneta.
Wapakoneta.
Ohio. And it's a pharmacy. It's not a drugstore. My father's finicky about that.
Well, is that where you're bound for?
Wapakoneta.
Wapakoneta.
I sure am. As fast as I can get out of this town. Say, is this a truce?
I guess so.
Oh, good. You know, what you did in Flandrin's office, the way you cleared things up, it set me up in fine shape.
I'm glad.
I had you figured all wrong. I took you for one of those society playgirls with nothing to do. I don't like them.
Oh, no. I think every woman should have a career.
I don't.
Oh? Well, just how do you like your women, Mr.
Thompson. Jeff Thompson.
Thompson.
I like my women unsophisticated, and believe me, they're hard to find.
They shouldn't be. Back in Wapakoneta.
Hey, you make it sound like a smudge on a road map.
I don't mean to.
Wait.
Well, Mr. Thompson, it's been an exciting morning.
Oh, wait a minute. You don't have to go.
Oh, but I do. And so do you, remember? Back to dear old Wapakoneta.
No, not till tomorrow morning. Have dinner with me tonight.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's my only night in town. Break your date if you got one.
I couldn't possibly.
You sure?
Emphatic.
Okay. Goodbye, Miss Sherwood.
Miss Sherwood. Oh, but...
What's your first name?
Margot. But you don't understand. I'm...
You know what I'll be doing tonight, Margot?
What?
Celebrating.
Huh?
I'm getting two tickets for a Broadway show and a table for two at the best nightclub in town and dinner for two with champagne.
How nice for you.
And the seat at the theater, the table at the club, and the champagne will be for you. The memory of you. Margot Sherwood, who made this celebration possible.
You're a little crazy, aren't you?
Yeah, more than a little. Well, goodbye, Margot Sherwood.
Oh, wait.
Yeah?
Unless you'd rather have the memory.
Miss Sherwood!
I think I can break that date after all.
Oh, that's swell. 7:30?
Fine.
Till 7:30, then. Goodbye, Margot Sherwood.
Till 7:30. Goodbye. Jeff Thompson.
Look, Jeeves, you tell her Wapakoneta's calling. She'll talk to me. Wapakoneta, that's right. She's round on the ends and high in the middle. Blink, 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 a riddle around on the... Oh, Margo? Good morning. Yeah, from information, naturally. Oh, sure, the Sherwoods of Fort Chester are well known to the Bell system. Yeah. Yeah, quite neatly. For a girl who'd never seen a midway carnival, you did okay. Hey, look, I'll postpone leaving till tomorrow if you'll have dinner with me again tonight. Oh, well, break it, Margot. It's my last night. Ah, swell. Same time, same place, same man. See ya. You know, it's funny.
What's funny, Jeff?
This? Us? 3 days ago, I could cheerfully have run your neck. Now look at me.
Have I really changed your mind about New York?
Well, not exactly about New York.
You were so positive 3 days ago.
Ah, Margo, you've got to see Ohio. This time of year especially, you'd be crazy about it. It's full of clover fields, farms, and hills. You know, you can rent a houseboat on the Ohio River for $8 a month.
Jeff.
Just float along with nothing to do. What's the matter?
The dance is over. We're alone in the middle of the floor.
Oh.
Margo. Hello, Margo.
Oh, hello.
Friend of yours?
More or less. Jeff, there's something I must tell you.
Tell me this. You like houseboats?
Margo, here you are.
Hello, Huey.
I've been calling you phony and phony. You're the most elusive person.
Well, call me tomorrow, Huey, about 10.
You're as elusive as that husband of yours, Margo. You know, I got to drag that out to that husband of yours. Elusive or not, I got to see him. The man that won you. I got to see. Yes, sir, I got
to see. Are you married?
Jeff, I was just
That's
going to...
That's a yes or no question. Simple. Are you married?
Well,
And you let me say all that.
I was going to tell you. It was just one of those things. It was over in a month. I was never in love with him.
Well, why'd you marry him then?
Well, I was alone in Rio. And we met in a doorway. We had dinner. And then we drove to a little village of Las Palmas, it was. The village priest married us and... Well, right away I knew I'd made a mistake.
Now, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. American girl alone in a foreign city. Mm-hmm. Where was it again?
Rio.
Rio. Yeah, she's lonesome, homesick. Meets another American, mistakes his feelings. Yeah, could be.
Of course, that's how it was, Jeff.
Well, gee, then all we've got to do is to get your divorce.
Well, yes, only with... With Tony.
Who?
Tony Merrick. With him, it's not that easy. See, he keeps avoiding my lawyers, Jeff. Nobody's seen him in months.
I see. Where'd you say this Tony Merrick was when you saw him last?
In Rio.
Oh. How was that when you left him in Las Palmas?
Oh, well, you see, we...
You said you were married in April, wasn't it?
Yes, April.
A minute ago, you said May.
Oh. Well, what happened was...
As a matter of fact, you didn't mention any month.
Well, anyone can get mixed up when a person's acting deliberately stupid and suspicious. You can take me home if you don't mind.
If you met him in Rio and had dinner and drove to Las Palmas to get married that same night, you must have driven awful fast.
Trying to give me the third degree?
Because it's 900 miles from Rio to Las Palmas.
How dare you question me as if I was a criminal or something?
Just one more question. Back in Ohio, when
I... Back in Ohio, Ohio, Ohio. That's where you belong. Back in Wapakoneta. You know, you're one of the silliest men I ever met. You really are. Sitting there playing information, please, with yourself.
Oh. I guess this has all been very amusing. Is that it?
Terribly. Oh, don't bother to get up. I'm quite able to get home by myself. As a matter of fact, I much, much prefer it. Good night, Mr. Thompson.
Hello? Hello, Mr. Thompson. We have the reply to your cable to Las Palmas. Shall I read it to you, sir? Reply your inquiry. Did not marry couple named. Never heard of Tony Merrick or Margot Sherwood. Signed, Jose Malaga, Pastor, Santa Ula Parish, Las Palmas. Yes, Mr. Thompson. We'll send it over. Oh, just a moment. We have the answer to your other one. Well, shall I read it? Check consulate. No passport visa ever issued. Name of Tony Merrick. Must be two other guys. Regards, Joe Neal. Yes, Mr. Thompson. Very well, sir. Good night.
think that thing puts a riddle high. And then round in the middle it's so high.
Yes, sir?
Is this the Sherwood residence?
Yes. Whom did you wish to see?
Mrs. Merrick. Mrs. Tony Merrick.
I'm sorry, sir. She's not at home. May I ask who is calling?
Mr. Merrick. Mr. Tony Merrick.
Beg pardon, sir. Mr. Merrick, her husband.
That's right.
Won't you come in, sir? Mrs. Merrick will be so surprised.
She will indeed, friend. She will indeed.
Dictionaries have a lot of synonyms for surprise. Sudden emotion, confusion, perplexity, a startling event. When we resume, we'll see Margot writing a definition of her own. Now, Act Two of the MGM Theater of the Air, starring Melvin Douglas with Arlene Francis. Lovely Margot, or rather Mrs. Merrick, is a bit vulnerable in the situation. For one thing, that Mrs. in front of her name is a fake. The marriage she talks about never took place. The husband she mentions is a figment of the imagination. This is quite an arsenal in the hands of an angry man. And Jeff Thompson is an angry man. Also, he is impulsive. His campaign: 1, present himself at the home of Margot's father. 2, announce himself as Tony Merrick, the long-lost husband. 3, wait while the message is relayed to the master of the mansion, none other than Mr. Sherwood of the Sherwood Big Dough.
Go away, I'm not here. I'm busy, I'm out, go away. Beg pardon, Mr. Sherwood.
What do you want? You know perfectly well I'm not to be disturbed. When I've said I'm not to be disturbed, what do you want?
There's a gentleman, sir.
Tell him to call me back. No, I'll call him. That is, tell him if he'll phone me tomorrow.
Not the telephone, Mr. Sherwood. A caller in person. Mr. Merrick's here. Mr. Tony Merrick.
I don't know why it is. When I ask not to be disturbed... Merrick? You mean Margot's husband?
Yes, sir.
The scoundrel. Have him come in, of course. Of course.
Yes, sir, at once, Mr. Sherwood.
Mr. Merrick's here. As if it were an everyday occurrence for that wandering troubadour to... Well, sir.
How do you do, sir?
How do you do? I've been wanting to meet you, Mr. Merrick. You've caused me and my daughter a great deal of worry.
I suppose I have.
That being the case, have you come here to cause her more upset or to arrange a divorce?
Well, I guess Margot didn't tell you about us then.
Tell me? Tell me what?
We talked things over long distance.
You did?
Yeah, we decided we were kind of hasty in breaking up, so... Well, we're going to start over.
You are?
Yes, Dad.
Huh?
Everything's patched up.
Oh, it is. It is. Well, that's different. That's wonderful. My boy, I'm delighted.
Well, I don't mind telling you, it's made a new man out of me, Dan.
Sit down, son. Sit down. Well, this is news. Does Margot know you're here yet? She's due home any minute, you know.
She wasn't expecting me until the end of the week, Dad.
The little vixen. Keeping this a secret from me. We won't say a word, eh? Just let her walk in and find you, eh? Let's really surprise her.
Yeah, let's.
Merrick. Merrick, I'm tickled to death. I don't mind telling you. Tickled to
Daddy,
death.
Are you in the library?
Here she is now. Yes, my dear, the library. Come in. I have a little surprise for you.
No, I'm tired and I don't like surprises.
Oh, you like this one. Tony's here.
Tony?
Surprise! Oh! Hello, darling.
Oh!
My little wife.
Dad!
Oh, how I've waited for this moment, darling.
Dad, listen.
I know. Don't try to talk now. I'll leave you two alone together.
No!
Your father understands, my dear.
No!
Whatever his faults, he's always been a tactful man.
Oh. Nice guy, Pop.
Oh, you rattle-brained idiot. Do you realize what you've done?
Sure. You invented a husband, and I've given him to you.
That's what you think, is it?
That, my love, is what I know.
Well, you're mad. You're insane. I'll tell Dad you're an imposter. I'll tell him that you...
Bright Eyes, I cabled Las Palmas.
You cabled?
I sure did. The priest in Las Palmas, the consulate in Rio.
Oh.
I don't know how many other suckers have fallen for this little act, my sweet, but you picked the wrong victim this time.
You've got to get out of here. Oh, have you the faintest notion of the position I'm in?
Well, I would say, after very careful thought, I would say that you are directly behind the eight ball.
Oh, Jeff, please.
Call me Tony.
Oh.
Don't you think? All things considered?
Please, do what I ask.
No.
But listen to me. There's another reason. I'm in love with someone. Deeply in love. Really, I am.
You can't be. It's bigamy.
Oh. His name's Philip. He's fine, and he's a sensitive man. We've been in love for years.
Uh-huh. Practically grew up together. The boy next door.
In a way, yes. Oh, please go, Jeff. Can't you see what this would make him think?
Listen, I refuse to cable anywhere to verify Philip. That sort of thing runs into money.
Oh, Jeff?
Someone's at the door. Yeah, come in.
It's only Dad. I shouldn't intrude like this when you have your little secrets to exchange, but I thought you'd be interested. I just sent some newspaper men away.
Newspaper men?
They wanted to confirm this story in their first edition. Look here.
Well, what do you know about that? Smart set career girl and husband reunited.
Rather well put, I thought. I told them for once they had their facts straight.
Uh-huh. Dad, no.
Well, I'll duck out again. Oh. I promise no more intrusion. No more at all.
Oh, dear. Things do get around, don't they?
You called the papers. You gave them that story. Oh.
Uh-huh. If you phone a refraction, it gets really complicated, darling.
I'm calling Philip.
Ah, the great love.
I'll tell him the whole story, everything. I can trust Philip. He'll tell me what to do. Hello? Philip? Yes, Philip, I must see you. Well, right away, if you can come over. It's rather urgent, Philip. Oh, thank you. Dear. There.
Oh.
We'll kill this story. And this little game of yours, whatever it is.
Oh.
You seem to find it all very boring.
Yeah, I'm tired. It's been a tough day. Where do I sleep?
You aren't staying here.
I prefer a hotel, frankly, but Dad and the papers might not understand.
Oh, really?
Where's my room?
Ask Dad. No, don't. I'll show you.
I'm very few specifications. Comfortable bed, reasonable quiet, and a door, if you please, with a double lock. Round on the end, high in the middle. Think, what's the riddle? Jeff, my dear fellow, do have some coffee. Oh, thanks, I will. Especially the house, you know. Guests always start the new day fresh with Sherwood coffee. Oh, is that so? Sugar, please. Of course, dear boy. Cream, right here, yes.
Do you enjoy talking to yourself?
Oh, good morning.
Pour me some of that, will you? I've just been reading the morning papers.
Frightful experience sometimes.
Career girl and reunited husband spend second honeymoon in the country.
Hmm.
That's how one columnist put it.
Hmm, cream, sure.
Black. Just give it to me. Oh, I haven't closed my eyes.
Hmm. Slept like a top, myself. A clear conscience will do that for you.
Jeff, we've got to get out of this some way.
We?
All right. I'm sorry. You've had your revenge. Now, we've got to think of something to do about it.
Oh, I had an idea. Friend Philip came galloping to the rescue last night. You mean he's stumped, too?
Philip said we should announce a divorce.
There you are. Perfectly simple.
I told him we can't do that. The papers would check up and find out it wasn't so.
You know, sometimes you almost make a noise like you were thinking.
Stop it, will you? And listen to me. We can't fake a divorce, therefore we won't. We'll get a divorce.
Nuh-uh. That's against the law. Unless they've changed it since I looked it up last night. You can't make a mockery out of marriage and get away with it, Mrs. Merrick.
All we have to do is file a suit.
You can't file a suit unless you're married.
all right.
That's the law, cutie pie. I didn't write it.
All right. So?
All right. So? What?
We won't break the law. There's only one way to do it. There's only one way to do it.
Hey, wait a minute.
Now, let's see. We'll have to go to some out-of-the-way place. Philip can arrange that, even for the life...
Let me get this straight.
It's ridiculously simple, really.
You're suggesting that we get married.
Well, you said yourself there's no other way.
Uh-huh. We get ourselves a nice little marriage so that you can get a nice little divorce. Is that it?
Mm-hmm. It'd be such a relief to have it cleared up.
Yeah, it certainly will. You've got it all planned out, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
By the sweet blue blaze of Nicardi, you've got it all planned out. You think all you have to do is to push a button and people hop to your orders?
Well, that's not so.
You bet it's not. Some people you can push around. Me, you can't push around, see?
Well, Jeff, you don't understand.
I'll get married when I want to get married. And it won't be to you.
Jeff, where are you going?
To my room, to pack, to get out of here. Away from you. Back to my folks. Back to Wapakoneta, Ohio, as fast as I can get there.
Oh, he meant it, Gussie. You don't know him.
Very stubborn man, Mr. Thompson.
The world's worst.
What seems like stubbornness is sometimes the hurt pride of a man in love, Margot.
The only person Jeff Thompson could ever be in love with is Jeff Thompson.
Well, then it is just as well he founds on this idea to marry.
Well, I wouldn't marry him if he was... Oh, well. I've got to, Gussie.
Oh, it is very complicated. Where's he now?
At his hotel. I'm dodging Father, so I won't get tangled up in a lot of stupid explanations. He'd never understand.
For that, you cannot blame him.
And Philip is there, too.
Philip Booth, the faithful slave.
Philip is sweet and good and patient. Everything Jeff Thompson is not.
So what does Philip Booth do at the hotel with him, with Jeff?
He went there because I asked him to...
Yes?
Well, to persuade Jeff.
Persuade? You mean Philip, who wants to marry you, has gone to ask Jeff to marry you?
So I can get a divorce and be free to marry Philip if I decide to. Yes, what's so strange about that? It's perfectly simple.
I do not like it, Marco. I'm confused, mixed up, but I do not like it.
I'm worried about one thing.
Only one?
Philip has such a terrible temper. Suppose Jeff makes him angry. Gussie, wouldn't it be awful if they should be, well, fighting over me? This very minute?
Hey, sit on this suitcase for me, will you, Booth? It won't close.
Okay. This'll do it.
Yeah, fine, thanks.
Ah, look here, Thompson. Here, have another drink.
Yeah.
Thompson, you gotta do the right thing. You simply got to marry that girl.
I have, huh?
Yeah. So she can divorce you.
And marry you.
I hope so. Now, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, a man's a man, Thompson. Will you do the decent thing?
Man to man, Booth? I will not. Where? Two more the same way. I'll get around to ordering some dinner later. Booth, it's no use. You're wasting your time.
It's the only honorable thing to do, Thompson. Under the circumstances, it's the only chivalrous thing to do.
I was always considered a very chivalrous fellow in Wapakoneta.
Well, there you are.
The test is, will I or will I not marry the woman you love?
Yeah, that's the test, old man. Will you?
You're wasting your time, old man. I will not. Where? Two more of the same. That pond looks familiar. We've been around here before, haven't we?
Well, I told the driver to go round and round and round, round the park. Well, I said, stop. Now, listen to me, Jeff. Now, listen. If you won't do this for Marco or for me, think of the children.
Now, what children?
Ours, Marco's and mine, after we're married.
Oh, the kids, huh? Oh,
I've forgotten all about those poor kids. Gee, we can't have them run around without any father or mother.
Oh, it's not as if I was asking anything for us, Thompson.
Just call me Buddy, Buddy.
All right, Buddy, Buddy. But will you, for the kids?
The kids. I hadn't thought of that. Stop the car. Stop the car!
Well, we're going to walk a while.
You are, Buddy. Shake hands.
Well, wait a minute, Buddy.
Not for you, not for Margot, but for the sake of the children. I'll marry the girl. Driver, on the way to the hotel, reel me in. Round the end and high and low. Bink, 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 bink.
Our hero, it would appear, is committed, but to what exactly? A tactical wedlock or something more? Time will tell, and we'll be back when it starts talking. Now, Act 3 of Third Finger Left Hand, the MGM Theater of the Air presentation starring Melvin Douglas with Arlene Francis. Up to the time of the ceremony itself, things were fairly coherent to Jeff and Margot. A marriage of convenience by mutual consent, perhaps followed by a divorce of convenience. But a wedding has an overtone all by itself. There is soft music, a touch of prayer, and a solemnity to the occasion that hackles the conscience. Jeff and Margot leave the minister's house. Walking silently, they approach the lookout over the falls. Their thoughts are wedded. Margot speaks.
Funny, isn't it?
Hilarious.
I mean, how things don't work out sometimes.
Oh, this worked out exactly to order. One wedding ordered, one wedding delivered. And you're married.
But not like I thought I'd be, in white, with a big ceremony and organ music and a church full of weepy people.
You wouldn't look any better in white than you do in that suit you're wearing.
Why, thank you, Jeff.
That's all right. I never permit personal feelings to bias my artistic appreciation.
You know, we really are exceptional people, you and I.
Everybody's exceptional. Why us in particular?
Well, lots of people come to Niagara Falls after they're married.
Yeah. But we came to Niagara Falls to get married. You're right. We're in a class by ourselves.
It's like Philip said. Nobody'd pay any attention to a couple going to Niagara Falls to get married.
Margot Sherwood, the only glamour career girl who must not attract attention to her wedding.
You know why?
Well, at least not to this wedding. Fortunately, there'll be others.
Yes, don't be bitter.
Bitter?
Oh. It's really so breathtaking, isn't it?
Hmm.
So beautiful.
Everything about it was beautiful. The courtship, the proposal, the ceremony. Even the minister was beautiful.
I mean the view, Jeff.
Oh, the view.
Hmm. Listen to that roar. Such primeval forest.
Yeah, if you enjoy lots of water, going no place in a hurry, it's okay.
Look! Look, a rainbow over the falls.
Yeah, pretty.
How many newlyweds have stood right here on this very spot and wondered what lay ahead for them, what the years would...
11 a.m.
What?
We've got 4 hours till plane time. Might as well sit over there on that bench and let some of the time pass.
Huh? Might as well.
A couple of newlyweds from Wapakoneta came here 5 years ago. They vowed they'd come back each year on their anniversary.
Oh, that was a nice idea. I like that very much. Did they do it?
Yeah, faithfully.
Oh, that is nice. 5 years. Just think. Remembering their honeymoon, keeping their love fresh and wonderful, growing closer together.
No. No, they separated a week after their honeymoon.
Oh, but you said...
Well, she married four more times, and he married four more times. They never forgot that sacred vow, though. They took those vows seriously, as you can see.
Jeff, don't.
So they came back each year, but not with each other. Well, it was an interesting arrangement. Variety with a clear conscience and no change of scene.
I don't think that's funny.
I don't think I was trying to be funny.
There aren't really that kind of people in Wapakoneta.
No, probably there are, but I don't know any.
That town's important to you, isn't it? Your home, your parents, your friends, settling down there.
Yeah.
You're proud of it. And you very much want it to be proud of you.
Yeah.
I envy you, Wapakoneta.
I had to travel through 9 countries on 3 continents and 7 islands to find out how important it is.
I know.
You do not.
What?
You don't know anything about it.
Well, I only meant...
You never could know anything about it. Not in a million years. Not for your kind of a girl.
Oh, is that so?
You'd never understand the place, see?
I wouldn't dream of trying to understand
You'd think of it as a hick town. You'd see the people in it as hicks.
Some of them are.
You just don't know because you don't. What's the matter?
Nothing's the matter.
There's a tear running down your cheek.
That's missed, you idiot.
Missed?
From the falls.
Oh.
I'll tell you just one thing, Jeff Thompson. If your precious Wapakoneta could see you like I see you, you'd never hold your head up there again. Never, never in 1,000,000,000 years.
DLA plane for Chicago, St. Louis.
I asked you to wait for me at the information desk.
I can watch the planes better from me. What did they say?
We'll be getting out of here in 20 minutes.
Thank goodness.
Now, Margo, look, what I said back there...
Don't talk to me, please.
That's ridiculous. If you'll listen...
It would do me no good to listen. I wouldn't understand what you said. I wouldn't understand anything about anyone from the state of Ohio.
I didn't mean to blow up. It was just that going through the ceremony and all, it got under my skin.
I beg your pardon.
What?
Have you a match?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I hope it's an Ohio match. No other kind accepted.
Ohio?
I thought that'd get you. Jeff, how are you?
Well, hello. Well, Mr.
Kevin, Judge
sure.
Kevin.
Sure.
Boy. Mother, Elvira, look who's here.
Well, for land's sake, it's Jeff Thompson.
Oh, not Jeff Thompson.
Oh, Mrs. Kellen, Elvira.
Oh, I didn't think you'd remember me, Jeff. It's been so long.
Such a surprise seeing you, dear boy.
Surprise is right, he said.
Yeah.
I got a match, I says. Sure, he says. It got to be an Ohio match, I says. And I got him. That's room for a loop for fair.
We read about your exhibit in New York, Jeff.
Yeah.
Oh, Elvira's got all kinds of clippings about you, Jeff.
Oh,
follow your career with the greatest interest, dear.
Yeah, I was talking to your father not 3 days ago, Jeff. They almost came along to this convention here with us. Sunday school convention, you know. And decided not to at the last minute.
Oh, wouldn't it have been thrilling if he had and run into Jeff this way?
Yeah. What are you doing in Niagara Falls, Jeff?
Well,
What do you think we're doing in Niagara Falls? Hunting wine?
What? Oh, my goodness!
Jeff, you don't mean you've gone and gotten yourself...
Married, yeah, today. Say, I'll tell you what.
Margo.
I'll tell you what. If you folks ain't occupied, why don't we all lift a snifter together? You know, wedding party.
Oh, you should have got here sooner. Oh, we had champagne.
Margo.
But it's all gone. Jeff, where's your manners? How about knocking me down to the hometown folks,
Yeah. This is Judge Kellen.
Kellen? Kellen, Hiya. Oh, I know some Kellens run a butcher shop in Brooklyn. We ain't gonna live in Brooklyn, you understand? Jeff don't want me to work no more. I says okay to that. Isn't that good looking?
congratulations.
Mama, wasn't that our plane called?
Hush, dear. Well, Jeff, this is such a surprise.
Surprise? Oh, sister, you don't know the half of it. When Butch here says to me, let's get married, I thought he was kidding.
Judge, when you saw Dad, how was he?
Listen, what are we standing here gasping for? I say, let's go and... Oh!
I've got you.
Take your hands off me.
I nearly...
Well, what's the big idea, huh? I don't like twerps grabbing my arm, see?
Well, you stumbled. I assure you, I...
Oh, you misunderstood, Okay, I accept the apology.
I do burn easy. But a girl can't be too careful with her reputation. Especially when she's married.
Yes, well, that's practically axiomatic.
Well, we really must be going.
Yes, we must. Goodbye, Jeff.
So nice to see you and your bride.
Elvira, wait, dear. Wait for Mother.
Goodbye, Mrs. Thompson.
So long.
Jeff, I suppose we should be seeing you in Wapakoneta soon.
Yeah, I'm afraid. I suppose you will, Judge.
Yeah, well, till then, happy journey, happy living.
That was a nice thing to do.
I can't understand them. Why should they understand me?
I have to go back and live among those people. Do you know what they'll think? Do you realize the position you've put me in?
I would say, after careful thought, I would say you are directly behind the eight ball.
I do not know anything about you, Mr. Thompson.
Sit on this suitcase, will you, Winkle? It won't close.
So?
Yeah, fine, thanks.
I know very little about you, Mr. Thompson.
All you need to know is that I'm checking out of this hotel in 3 minutes flat.
You and Margot are a bride and groom. Back in New York one day. Tonight the bride goes to Reno, and the groom goes to an Indian village in Ohio.
Wapakoneta is not an Indian village.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I wouldn't expect any friend of Margot's to know the difference. What'd she send you here for, anyhow?
Mr. Thompson, she's going to divorce you.
Yeah, that's the idea, isn't it? A pip?
Then she's going to marry Philip, the faithful slave.
Philip the who?
Never mind. Will you let her do this, Mr. Thompson?
Yes, I'll let her do it. She can marry who she pleases when she pleases. As soon as she's shed of me. And the quicker that happens, the better.
Miss Sherwood, that is Mrs. Thompson, is a woman of prominence and means who...
For what?
Mrs. Thompson is a woman of prominence...
I heard you. Who told you to say that?
Philip.
Winkle, you don't like Philip any better than I do you?
If Margot would marry him, there is something good about the young man, I guess.
Attaboy, Winkle. Chin up. Okay, Mrs. Thompson's a woman of prominence and means.
A claim might be entered against her at some future time.
A claim?
By an irresponsible party who has the right, legal right, that is, to enter such a claim. This marriage is valid after all.
Wait a minute.
Yes?
The idea is to guard Mrs. Thompson against the possible claims of this irresponsible party by what means? A property settlement, a waiver, or something like that?
Yes.
Was she there? Did she hear Philip suggest this? Oh, sure, of course, she must have. What'd she say?
Nothing, Mr. Thompson. Not one word.
I see. All right, give me the waiver. I'll sign it.
The point is, it will take time to draw it up, discuss the details.
Time? I get it. The answer's no.
But, Mr. Thompson...
No, I've done all I'm going to do for those two. I wouldn't stay in this cockeyed town one more hour for all the tea in China.
You might settle the whole thing on the train.
On the train?
You are going to Ohio. Margot is going to Reno. Both paths lead west.
Whose idea was this, settling it on the train?
Mine. It solves the time problem, you see.
Yeah.
And perhaps others as well. She will see you with Philip.
He's going along?
He's drawing up the waiver, Mr. Thompson. She will see you with Philip and Philip with you. The matter will be settled once and for all. You do not object?
No, I guess not. You tell Margot I'll be glad to oblige. We'll settle the whole matter on the train tonight.
So you've been mighty cooperative about this, Thompson.
Yes, okay.
We do appreciate it, too.
Okay, everything's in order now, is it?
100%.
Party of the first part, protected against party of the second part, and all that, huh?
Mm-hmm, completely.
Yeah, well, then I can go to bed. We pull into Wapakoneta early in the morning.
Good night, Jeff.
Good night, old man.
Good night. Good night. Well?
You said you were leaving, Thompson.
I said I was going to bed. I can't do that with you two in my compartment.
You? But that's ridiculous.
This is Margot's compartment, you idiot.
Margot's? That's a good one. Always a kidder, that second husband, eh, Margo?
Jeff, you know perfectly well this is my compartment. My things are here.
Well, my things are in here, too.
A briefcase?
Which you were carrying when you came in.
I beg your pardon. The porter was carrying these bags of yours. You said leave them here for the time being. We're in a hurry. Philip would take them to your compartment later.
You're nuts.
I remember the conversation distinctly.
I have my ticket stubs here in my purse somewhere. Oh, dear.
Well, a search through a woman's purse knows no time limit. And I've got to get up early, friends. Come on. Come on.
I'll get the conductor.
Philip.
What?
Hurry, will you? I got to get some sleep. Never mind looking for those stubs.
But they're here somewhere. I know I've... Oh.
Compliments of the groom.
Where did you... How did you...
Well, the conductor punched. You and Philip chattered. I held out my hand. Presto, the ticket stubs.
Then you knew all along this was my... You were pulling another one of your cute tricks. Oh, Jeff Thompson.
Ask me why I did it.
Why did you do it? I won't ask you why. I don't care why you did it. Get out of here.
I had to get rid of Philip so I could talk to you alone.
We have nothing to talk about.
All right, I'll talk. You listen.
I will not listen. Get out.
You're going to throw me out? I'm not going quietly.
I'll call the porter, the conductor.
No, you won't.
Oh, Jeff.
That's better. It's a sweet mess, isn't it?
Yes.
Before we say goodbye, I want to tell you I'm sorry for all the trouble I made for you, Margo.
Oh?
I'd like to, well, part friends, if that's possible.
No, it isn't.
No, I suppose not. Oh, I don't blame you for being bitter, either. I'm pretty bitter myself. With less reason, I suppose.
Jeff.
All right, I'm going. But I'm not quite an ex-husband yet.
No.
So I'll assert a prerogative or something and ask you whether you're absolutely out of your mind.
What?
Are you as crazy as you seem to be?
You mean to go through with a divorce?
I mean to think for 1 minute of marrying a man like Philip.
Oh.
You never had too much sense anyway, but this tops it all.
Oh!
You must be blind as well as foolish not to see him for what he is. A smug, self-centered, opinionated...
Good night, Jeff.
I simply can't believe you can be so dumb.
Good night.
All right, good night. I don't know why I worry about you. What cockeyed reason makes your happiness so important? But as of right now, I stop worrying. Good night. And goodbye.
Station
Wapakoneta, bound on the engine high. I'm nuts.
Well, coming in now. Well, it's time.
What's going on? Hey. Wait a minute.
Jeff, my boy.
Hey, Judge, has this town gone crazy?
Well, if it has, everybody's in the same boat, son. The whole town's turned out.
But why?
Oh, there's your mother and dad waiting, boy. Near the back.
Judge, listen.
It was a little late when we got your wire, Jeff.
Wire? What wire?
Yeah, but we did our best on such short notice. For you and the bride.
Bride? Hey, look, I didn't send any wire.
I did, dear.
Margo.
Well, now, I'll clear the way for you. All right, clear the way, folks.
All right.
You know how forgetful you are.
Baby.
I knew you'd want Wapakoneta to meet us together.
I don't believe it.
Darling, you must.
I don't believe it.
Will this help?
Oh, have I waited a long time for that.
Have I? Oh, Jeff, you know what we're going to do.
Yeah. See Wapakoneta together.
Yes. Oh, isn't it wonderful to be home?
It is now. Oh, boy, it sure is good to be home now.
Melvin Douglas will be back with you in just a moment.
Well, Mel, before we sign off, it is customary to have a little interview so that the listening audience can hear you step out of your character.
Well, actors aren't supposed to have their own character. They have characters created by scriptwriters.
Well as being a star, you are known around the country as a person, and you can afford to indulge your audience with the real Melvin Douglas.
Well, that's nice of you, Howard. Well, what do you want me to say?
Well, you can say how much you enjoyed being on the MGM Theater of the Air, that it's just a continuation of your life with MGM, which has had only a few interruptions.
I don't think I have to say anything. You're saying it.
Well, then I'll speak for ourselves. We're happy to have you on this program. We enjoyed your performance, just as we've enjoyed your many performances, remembering outstandingly Ninotchka, Sea of Grass, Mr. Blandings, and The Great Sinner. We wish you good luck in your very satisfactory career.
Thank you, Howard.
And thank you, Melvin Douglas.
You have been listening to Third Finger, Left Hand, starring Melvin Douglas with Arlene Francis, adapted for radio by William Kendall Clark. Original music composed and conducted by Joel Herron. The program was directed by Marx B. Loeb and produced by Raymond Katz. The supporting cast included Edwin Jerome. Ed Stokes speaking.